This week's shir is again sponsored by the Weinblatts in Lili Nishmas Yaakov Yitzhak Ben Chaim. This week's Sedra Veishlach starts with Yaakov sending his messengers, the angels, to meet up with Esav, his brother. Yishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanev Esav Echiv Arzis Yisrael Yadom. And then he tells the angels what to tell his brother. This is what I want you to tell my brother Esav. Kumrav Decha Yaakov, so says your slave Yaakov. Im Lavan Garti Veichar Adata. And with Lavan I lived, literally, and I tarried until now. Vayhili shor v'chamor, I have a shor, an ox, a donkey, tzon, v'eved, v'shivcha, v'eshlecha l'agid l'ani l'imtzochein b'enecha. And I'm sending it to you to find favor in your eyes. So the famous Rashi. Rashi says, im Lavan garti, lo nasesi sar v'chashuv. He says, Esav, I didn't become a prince, somebody chashuv. No, elegair, I was just a nobody, a simple, a stranger. Therefore, you don't have to be angry I took the brachas from you, that I am going to be a lord over your brothers. They didn't come true. You see, so you don't have to get it, be angry at me. That's one pshat. Rashi says, davar acher, another pshat, that garti begematria is taryag. Agav, I heard once a question, I don't have an answer, but Rashi, famous Rashi, right? Garti and Van Garti. Garti and Gematria is the same as Taryag. Well, of course, not Gematria, it's the same letters. In Gematria, you have two different words and it adds up to the same numerical value. But if you have the exact same word, it's not the Gematria, it's the same letter. Garti, Taryag, exactly the same letters. Okay, anyways, but Taryag says, Rashi, Kolomar, Im Lavan Arasha Garti, Ve Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti, and I kept all Taryag Mitzvahs even though I was by Lavan, Velo Lamanati Masav Yoram, I didn't learn from his evil ways. So the question they ask is, it seems like a stira. First, what's Yaakov's approach? First, his approach is one of, he's subjugating himself to his brother. He says, who am I? I'm nothing. Look, the brachas didn't come true. When you have to hate me, it's like, you know, like lowering himself per se to his brother Esav. That and then davar acher, taryag mitzvah shamarti. I kept the whole Torah and I didn't learn from his. So what is it? It's like a stira. Are you saying I'm a nobody, nothing, and or are you saying that you know I'm great? I didn't learn from his ways. I kept all the Torah. It's like a stira. So I think the simplest answer is that you have to see who you're talking to. That's all. Says to Esav, Rashi's not a stira. First he says, I'm a nothing, I'm submissive. Yeah, he was very submissive. That was his approach right through. He said, Taryag Mitzvah Shamarti. Who is he talking to? Esav. What, Esav appreciates Taryag Mitzvahs? Esav appreciates that he didn't learn from Lavan's conniving ways? Nah, what does Esav say? Ah, you're busy, you're sitting learning Torah all day. Nah, nothing. Why'd you didn't learn from Lavan? Nah, you could have picked up some good tricks from Lavan. You didn't pick up anything from Lavan. Eh, exactly. So in other words, really Yaakov was submissive the whole way. Beginning according to the first pshat, and according to the second pshat. Since he's talking to Yaakov, who doesn't appreciate what mitzvahs are. Yeah, Taryag Mitzvah Marti. Yeah, Esav appreciates that. No, he thinks he's I'm sitting and learning all day, wasting his time. He doesn't value, he doesn't know what mitzvahs are. So to him, he's submissive to Esav, even according to the second pshat. So that's Esav Arasha, right? He's one that doesn't appreciate mitzvahs, doesn't realize the value of what mitzvahs are. But we have to be better than Esav. We have to understand, we have to realize that the mitzvahs are in fact very valuable, and they have tremendous kochos. It's a story. There was once a fellow, he lived in Chutz Laaretz in America, and he was married for 20 years, and didn't have any children. So he tried everything, nothing worked, and of course it was very hard on him and his wife. And they decided, you know, one school is Shinui Makum. It says Shinui Makum, Shinui Mazel. He changed place, and that he has the power to change your mazel. And more so even coming to Eretz Yisrael, as we see from Avraham Avinu, you know, he went to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, that's it. He decided to make Aliyah. Okay, he came to Eretz Yisrael. And 1 year went past, another year, 3 years, still nothing on the horizon. Meanwhile, he bumps into a friend of his, an old friend from America, who was visiting Eretz Yisrael. And he was a very well-to-do businessman. And he says, how you doing? Long time no see. You're schmoozing, this, that. So he says, what's happening? Any luck? You have family yet? He says, no, unfortunately, nothing. He goes, nothing still? You're married 23 years. So he says, Bezrat Hashem, hopefully. So he said, his friend says, come on, what do you mean hopefully? sometimes a person just has to, realize where he is, what's his matzav, and then say, no, it's not, that's it, what can I do? So he said, no, I don't know, Bezrat Hashem, you never know, it's possible. He goes, come on, possible, what do you mean possible, it's not possible? You have to, wake up a little bit, you can't leave in a dream world. Obviously nothing's going to happen, 23 years you're married, you can forget about it. Don't live in a dream, and okay. So finishes the discussion with him, eventually makes his way back to America, this is a businessman, and so when he comes back home, his wife says, how you doing, this, that, and then he happens to mention he met up with his old friend and his, discussion with him. So his wife says, got angry, he says, why'd you tell him that? What do you mean you should just, shouldn't live in a dream world and just, give in to his matzav? And what do you mean? So he said, what do you mean what I mean? Come on, the guy's married 23 years. Forget it. Nothing's going to happen now already. It's a lost cause. So she goes, it's not right. What do you say? He says, come on. He says, if this guy, my friend, has a baby, he says, I know what I'll do? This guy, I'll be a monkey's uncle, the expression. He says, I'll tell you what, I'll close my entire business, and I'll go learn in Kollel in Israel if this guy, has a baby. Okay, he made that comment. So what happens? Wouldn't you know it? Within a year, the woman not only has a child, she has two children. She had twins, a boy and a girl. Anyways, he was shocked, of course. He took the first plane to Eretz Yisrael, and he goes straight into Rav Chaim Kanievsky. And he tells him the story. He says, I don't know what to do. I said, if I have a baby, I'd close up my whole business and come learn a kollel here. And so I don't know what to do. So Rav Chaim says, what do you mean? What do you mean you don't know what to do? He says, I don't know. So should I matir neder? Maybe can I matir neder even after the fact or something? And Rav Chaim says, no. Says, okay, so maybe I'll sponsor an avreich. I'll pay for an avreich. I'll sponsor someone to cover his whole all his expenses and support him. And it's like I'm learning. And Chaim says, no. Says, so what should I do? He says, what should you do? Close up your business and come learn and go. He says, come on. So Rav Chaim says, listen. He says, who knows? He says, who knows that could be that the whole reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu did this neis of having this guy, have his twins, having these children, is just in order that you should sit and learn in kollel. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the Torah so much that Hashem's willing to do like an open miracle just so he'd have you sit and learn Torah. Since you said such a thing, and oh, so good, so now I have somebody to learn Torah, I'll make all my this woman give birth. So here, who are we talking about? You're not going to say Hashem wants this, big tzaddik to sit and learn, Talking about this pashuta, businessman, right? But even his Torah is something we can't fathom. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we saw, is willing to do nisim, just to have this pashuta person learn Torah. Once again, we don't realize the value, what it means to sit and learn Torah. Agav, another thing that kind of came out of the story was the power of speech, which he spoke about in earlier shiur. That here he is, he made this throughout this comment. I'll go learn. You say, okay, it's not pasha. What comes out of a person's mouth is chashuv. It's like a neder, and he has to hold true what he says. So I heard this story, which it can't be true. It was very interesting because I heard a story from somebody, and it's like not shaykh, but later on, interestingly enough, I don't know how long after, a year or two later, I happened to see this story in print, and it was not the same as the way I heard it. So I'll tell you how I heard it, and I'll tell you how I saw it in print. So the story, the way I heard it was, actually a story about an avreich in Kiryat Sefer, that he was his wife, he had to take his wife to the hospital to have a baby. So it was Erev Shabbos, and he rushed to the hospital, this, that, whatever, and she's in the delivery room, and it's, you know, time's ticking away, it's almost Shabbos, and he still wanted to get back to back here to be with his kids, to, you know, to take care of his kids, you know, over Shabbos. So he hears, you know, from the delivery room, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. He goes, ah, you know, Baruch Hashem, mother's well, fine. And he zips, and he quickly gets back here to be with his kids for Shabbos. So what happens? He, next morning, he says, okay, you know, Shabbos morning, I'll have an Aliyah, name my child. Okay? Because they were talking before, the, you know, the names, and they decided what name to give. It depends, you know, what it is. So he said, okay, so he gets an Aliyah, and he says, he names his daughter, well, I heard it was Rachel. Fine. So he names his daughter Rachel, all's well. And Motzei Shabbos, he contacts his wife and says, you know, how you doing? How was your Shabbos in the hospital? And then she goes, okay, Baruch Hashem. And she says, and how did you manage with the Arbis and everything? He's like, Arbis? What are you talking about? She said, the Shalom Zachar. How did the Shalom Zachar go? He says, Shalom Zachar? He said, well, I never Shalom. Why do I have a Shalom Zachar? He says, what do you mean? We had a boy, you know, so you have a Shalom Zachar. He said, we had a boy? He says, I thought we had a girl. And then, you know, the ultrasounds are always saying it was a girl and everything. She goes, yeah, I know, but Lamaisa was a boy. And he also says, I didn't have a Havamin, it was a boy. I thought it was a girl. I can't. So I named him. I named him Rachel. And she's like, what? So he didn't know what to do. What are you doing? You name your son Rachel. So the way I heard it was that he went to Rav Chaim and he asked him what to do now. So Rav Chaim says, so call him Yaakov Rachel. You know, they named him Rachel, right? He said, I didn't name him. Call him Yaakov Rachel. So it's a guy in Kirt Sefer, every guy named Yaakov Rachel, you know what it is. Anyway, it doesn't sound right to me. It didn't sound right to me because you don't have, you name, especially if you make a mistake. And second of all, the name's not, you know, whatever, that's it, you know, whatever. You don't have to, the person can drop any name he wants if he doesn't like it or whatever. It's not that. Anyways, but it made an impression on me, at least the story that, you know, how what comes out of a person's mouth, you know, he end up coined it the way I heard it, call him Yaakov Rachel, because he said the word, said the name Rachel. The way I saw the in print later was that the same idea, but not, it wasn't Rachel, it was Rivka. And after he found out that it was a boy, he didn't go to Rav Chaim, went to Yitzchak Zilberstein. And he didn't tell him he had to call him, you know, thing. He just gave him an eighth of what name to yes call him. So he told him, listen, if you name the Rivka, so call him Yitzchak. Why? Because Ishto Kagufo, and, you know, Rivka's husband was Yitzchak. So you call him Rivka, so call him Yitzchak. And Agav, he said, if it would be a name that is, some names you can use for both, you know, like Yonah or Simcha, it can go for a boy or a girl. So if that would have been the case, you can just leave it. And if it's a name that you can just alter a little bit, that's also fine. And then, let's say you would have named their Nechama. So then you could call him Nachum, you know, something like that. Anyways, but so still, even coin Rev Zilbers, and you see, you know, that Lamaisa, you did say something, you didn't name it. So then you should try to keep what you said, change a little bit or whatever. But we see the chashivas of speech. Agav, also, speaking about names, interesting, Maisa, with, there's a Rav in Bnei Brak, his name is Rabbi Hart. And he had a kesher with this young woman that was a balas tshuva. And her name was Adi, Aleph Ayin Dalad Yud, which is a very not religious name, Adi. And after she became from, she felt uncomfortable with her, she had like a not religious name, you know, she wanted to change her name. So she'd want to, again, to keep it a little bit, you know, along the same line. So she decided she wanted to be called now Adina. Okay. So she asked this Dr. Hart if he can please go into Rav Chaim to get like a bracha, you know, because she's made new life, new name now. So fine. So he goes to Rav Chaim and says, you know, this girl, Baal Shuvah, changed her name to Adina, wants a bracha. So he says to her, what kind of name is that? He says, what's wrong? He says, Adina. What kind of? What do you? Why should you call yourself Adina? So he says, why? What's wrong with Adina? A lot of girls are called Adina. He goes, Adina was Lavan's wife. So why would you call your Dina, you know, Lavan's wife? What kind of, you know? So he's like, okay. So he goes back and he tells her, you know, that Chaim didn't think it was a good idea, Lavan's wife. But okay, so she found some other name, whatever it was. A few days later, in this practice, this couple comes in with their kid. It's a girl. And he's, okay, so he's, you know, dealing with whatever. He says, what's the girl's name? The little girl's name says Adina. So he says, your daughter's name is Adina? So he says, yeah, what's wrong? He says, oh, you should go to Rav Chaim. And I don't know, it could be a problem over here, you know? So this is really? I never, he says, yeah, I was just there the other day, and he's Adina, you know, Lavan's wife, you know, not a good idea. She goes, oh my gosh, okay, Seder. So they go together, Dr. Hart and this man, and they go into Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim says, yeah. So he says, well, I'm here about this man's daughter. He goes, yeah. He says, well, you know, her name is Adina. And Rav Chaim's like, yeah. He says, Adina, you know, Adina, so what should we do? He says, what's wrong with Adina? He says, what do you mean, what's wrong with Adina? Slicha, Rav said the other day, Lavan Arami's wife, you know, Adina, you know, so we don't know what to do. He says, nothing wrong with Adina. He says, Adina was Rachel and Leah and Rachel's mother. So what's wrong with Rachel love with Adina? Anyway, so they learned from here that that's the way Gedolim work. You know, they have their, that's not the name, you know, Adina was, there's higher things over there, and they just, you know, bring it down in this world, and they, you know, this name's okay, I love it, but it's not the name, there's things up there. They bring us to Mice with the Chazanish, that once this Kala, it was like a few, 2 days before her Chasana, she was doing some sewing, and she put the needle in her mouth while she was dealing with the thread or whatever, and accidentally she swallowed the needle.
Oh.
And it got caught in her throat. And everybody's panicking 2 days before the chasana. They didn't know what to do, and they're stuck in there. And so they went to the chazanish, and they said, we want a bracha, something, you know, what should we do? And they said, should we push off the chasana? I mean, 2 days, and she has she got a pin in her throat. So the chazanish says, don't worry about it. Kol Yeh Beseder, you don't have to push off the chasana. Everything will be okay. So sure enough, short time later, a couple hours or whatever, it dislodged itself and everything was fine and no problem. So they came to the chazanish after and they said to him, Mofes, you know, how did you do that? What'd you say, Kabbalistic things or whatever? He goes, nah, it's not a Mofes, nothing. She says, why? How can we enter you? And you said, you don't have to push out the chasana, you knew everything was going to be okay. How'd you know? So he said, listen, he says, when I was a kid, you know, anytime I had a problem, this, that. So my mother used to always say, "Ana chatuna ze yavor." He goes, don't worry, it'll pass before your chasana. It'll pass before your chasana. So I figured the same thing, it'll pass before the chasana. You know, everything will work out. So again, that's the gedolim. You know, they make it like, you know, it's nothing, but they have obviously higher things in mind. Okay, let's get back to the issue at hand. Here, enough of the agavs. So we're speaking about the koach, the godless of the mitzvah. I once had a kasha that we're all familiar with the, you know, hashkafic sefers are full of this idea that, you know, discuss why is it that Hashem created us, put man into this world, right? He couldn't have left us as neshamas in the next world, and why do you have to create us and put us down in this world? So, famous answer we're all familiar with, is that Hashem wanted, is all good, and he wanted us to appreciate the good. And therefore, he wanted to give us good in a way that we wouldn't be embarrassed, and we don't really feel comfortable and feel good about the good that we're getting. And therefore, if he would just give us a gift, so then we wouldn't appreciate it. We feel embarrassed, Nahama de Chasufa, as Chazal called the bread of embarrassment. I don't deserve it, I don't. And therefore, if he would just give us Olam Haba, just like that, we wouldn't appreciate it. Therefore, he says, here, I'm going to work for it, puts us in this world, do mitzvahs, don't do veras, whatever, and then after working for it, so then we'll appreciate it so much more. And then we'll really enjoy the good. We don't feel like it's an embarrassment. That's a famous idea. What bothered me was, when you think about it, it's a problem. Why? Let me give you a mashal. Let's say I have $1 million, okay? And I want to give this $1 million to this guy here, Ruvay. Okay, but I know he's going to feel very uncomfortable. You know, I'm just giving him $1 million, just like that. And he's going to feel, oh, you know, what did I do to, you know, same idea, right? I don't want to be like lechem, bread of embarrassment. You know, I'm giving $1 million. He didn't deserve it. So I say, I have an idea. I say, Reuven, can you do me a favor? Can you go to the store for me and pick me up a loaf of bread? And he goes, okay, sure. He goes, gets a loaf of bread, comes back, and I say to him, you know what? I want to pay you for this because you're so nice. You went and you went to the store, brought the bread. So here's $1 million. Okay, why did I do it? Because now, okay, at least he earned it. You know, it's not a you know, not embarrassed anymore because at least I'm just giving $1 million. He did something. Meaning, obviously, that's ridiculous. What, does that he earned $1 million going to the store, coming back 10 minutes later with a loaf of bread? That doesn't compare to $1 million. I give him $5 maybe, but not $1 million. Right? It doesn't compare. So too over here. It says that what does a person get if he does mitzvahs? Olam Haba. What's Olam Haba? We say that the Chazal say Pirkei Avos, right? One moment, one little chorus ruach of Olam Haba is worth more than all Olam Hazeh. One tiny little bit of Olam Haba is worth more than all of Olam Hazeh. Surely, you know, a chunk of Olam Haba, as you can't imagine. So How am I not going to be embarrassed? Okay, put on film a few times, learn some Torah. Okay, wonderful. How does that compare to what I'm getting? I'm getting like billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars for what? For putting on film a few times and learning some Torah. Now I'm not embarrassed. Well, it's only not embarrassed if what I did was equal to what I'm getting paid, pretty much. You know, I work for 2 hours, I get paid for 2 hours, and okay, so then I'm not embarrassed. But if I'm getting way, 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 way more than I really work for, so how is that that I'm not going to be embarrassed? Oh, no, I'm not embarrassed in Olam Haba because I work for it. How you can compare? Where's the comparison? So the answer I thought of once was once when I was walking over here years ago in Kiryat Sefer. You see it all the time to this day, when they're working on the construction. So I was living here before there was Kiryat Sefer. There was nothing, just a mountaintop. And so they have to start, making a city. So one of the main machines that are working out there, besides dynamite and blow up the mountain, but besides that, they have, I don't know exactly how you call it in English, in Hebrew expression, they call it a bugger. A bugger is like a jackhammer. They have these. They sit in a cab like a machine. And a guy sits in the cab, and there's an arm that comes down, and goes and it breaks the rocks. You know, so it goes right next to the mountain, and goes and it just cuts through right through and breaks the rock. So you know, I was looking at this guy inside the cabin. You know, like, what is he doing, Sakakol, right? You think, he's just pressing a button, you know? And it, boof, 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 you know, breaking up these huge, huge boulders in half. And what is he doing? And the air conditioning, you know, pressing this little button. You know, he's doing nothing. Yet, he's not doing nothing. He's breaking these huge boulders, right? So I was thinking, that's the answer. Now, we think, what am I doing? I'm not doing anything. Put on tefillin, learn some Torah. Huh, I deserve this Olam Haba. Well, it's not equal. There it is, because we don't realize. We think like the guy, what is he doing? He's pressing a button. Oh, what are you doing? He's breaking these boulders. So to us, we don't appreciate, don't realize what it means. Well, learn some Torah. What do you mean learn some Torah? You don't realize it. When you learn Torah, what each word does, it creates worlds. So when you get up there, you say, wow, I did a lot. You know, it's like this guy, you know, after he comes out of his cabin, he says, wow, you know, I broke down this whole huge mountain over here just by pressing this button. So he says, wow, you know, I did something. So to here, we just don't understand him because we don't realize what it means to learn Torah, what it means to put on tefillin and then on all the mitzvahs. We're breaking these bowls, we're doing these tremendous things. So therefore, our reward is commensurate to what we really did. It's another story I'd like to end with. It's not a very well-known story of the Chafetz Chaim. Most of the stories of the Chafetz Chaim are well-known, but this is a not well-known story. And what happened? The Chafetz Chaim, when he was an old man, was towards the end of his life, the yeshiva in Radin, which he was responsible for, was in great debt. They owed like 6,000 rubles. And he, of course, wasn't happy with the debt. He wanted to, you know, clean off the debt. And somebody had a suggestion. He said, there's a rich man in Warsaw, and he's sympathetic towards yeshivas or whatever. If somebody goes and asks for a donation, he'll give a nice donation. But they said to Chafetz Chaim, if you go yourself, I mean, You know, guys can't. We're not going to refuse you. Yeah, it's Chaim. He'll give you a very nice donation, but you have to go yourself. So he was hesitating, very old and sickly and weak, and you know, to make the trip to Warsaw. But he said, you know, for the yeshiva, I'll go. Fine. So he took Rav Shmuel Greenerman and his Talmid, and they traveled by train. They went to Warsaw, and finally make it to this guy's house, knock on the door, and the Baal Bais, he's standing in the doorway, the Chavetz Chaim, the guy almost fainted. He said, please come in with him. So he says, what can I do for you? So he said, we're collecting money for the yeshiva in Radin, we're in debt, we need help. So he says, we have a debt of 6,000 rubles, and so the man took out from his pocket keys, he gave it, handed it to the Chavetz Chaim, and he says, my safe is over there, here are the keys, go into the safe, take whatever you want. Take whatever you want, as much as you want, much money, take anything as much as you want. He says, but I want you to not to tell me what you took. Take it, and that's it. Don't tell me anything. Just take whatever, you don't have to tell me, put it in a bag, and that's it. So, thank you very much, whatever. He goes to the safe, opens up, goes to Rav Shmuel. Of course, he wants to go himself. Goes to Rav Shmuel, opens up the safe. There's all this tons of money over there. Starts filling up, counting out the money, filling out the bag. So, he's counting again, got to 5,000 rubles, it stopped. 5,000. Closed up the bag, closed the safe, comes back out. So, he comes back to the man, he says, thank you so much, for your generosity. I took 5,000 rubles from your safe, and that's it. So the man was, wait a minute. He says, what? He says, wait a second. He says, I got two kashas. He says, yeah. He says, kasha number one is, you said you needed 6,000 rubles. So why did you only take 5,000? You needed 6,000. That's my first question. My second question is, that I said beferish, please don't tell me how much you take. Just take, but I don't want you to tell me. So why did you tell me how much you took? Two kashas. So the Chavetz Chaim says, I'll answer you both questions. First question you want to know is, why did I take five instead of six? He says, maybe you don't know, but my shita, my whole life has been, since I was Rosh Hashiva, is I never take all the money from one person. Because I believe that everybody should have a schus in Torah. So I'm going to take if one person's going to support the yeshiva, then you're taking away mitzvahs and other people. And everybody should have a chelik in the Torah. And therefore, the maishit has never always been not to take all the money from one person. Okay, in your case, first of all, it's not easy for me to go around and this. So I could have just taken 1,000 and spread the rest out. But truth is, it's very hard for me. We do owe a lot of money. And you're very, tremendous, philanthropist. So I want to give you the schus, but not everything. Not everything. Five out of six. So 1,000 leave for other people. He says, okay, what about the other thing? I told you not to tell me how much. Why'd you tell me? So he says, let me give you a mashal. He says, a guy, let's say, goes after 120 years, goes to the next world. And he's going to see, all the mitzvahs and the veras, and he's, in front of him. And might happen once, the guy's going to see, wait a second, he says, he sees over there, such as a date written down, that he gave 2,000 rubles to Tzedakah. So the guy's going to complain. Why? He's going to say, I don't believe it. This is supposed to be Olam Ha'emes, no? There you say, up there, yeah. He says, but what I remember on that day, I gave 10,000 rubles. So why does it say 2,000 rubles? Right? And it's Olam Ha'emes. Okay, they don't lie up here. What's going on? So they said to him, listen, it's all in my emes. He says, the reason why it says 2,000 is because, yes, it's true you gave 10,000, but what happened was the 2,000 you gave with a full heart. You want to give it 2,000 to Tzedakah. But the rest, the other 8,000, you didn't really give with a full heart. You only gave it because there was a bidding going on. This guy was giving this guy was giving, and you want to say, oh yeah, watch this. And you ended up bidding up to give 10,000, right? Because you wanted the cover. So that extra eight, that was only for cover. That you don't get credit for that. You get credit for 2,000. So he said to the Gemir, Chavetz Chaim said to the Gemir, so too over here. He says, he says, the reason why I told you, because after 120 years, when you go up the stairs, you know, I want you to know that what you gave. Okay, so here, myself and Rav Shmuel over here, we're witness that you gave 5,000 b'lei shalem. You know, you said take whatever you want. You get for sure. You definitely gave b'lei shalem. Mamish l'shem shamayim. And therefore, we want to tell you, so you should know that we're your einim, that you gave mamish l'shem shamayim is 5,000. And therefore, they can't have any tainus on you in the next world. That's why we want to let you know this. Fine. So they thanked him again very much, and they made their way out. So the reason for this whole story is really the extra end of the story. And that is that they made their way to the train station. And wouldn't you know it happens every now and then. You know, you come a little bit late, the whole thing, counting out the money, and then whatever. It took a little bit longer than they expected. And they tried rushing to the train to get up the train back to Radin. They just missed the train a few minutes ago. And so Rav Greiner was like, oh no, because he knew on the Tefillah schedule, the next train is supposed to only come in like another 4.5 hours. And he's like, he felt terrible. I was going to stand around for 4.5 hours waiting for a train. You know, he didn't know what it's going to be. So Chavetz Chaim saw he was upset and this. He says, don't worry. Kol yeh beseder. You'll see. Kol yeh beseder. Everything will be okay. We're waiting a few more minutes. All of a sudden, they see a train coming back. The same train that they missed, coming back in the other direction, back to the train station. Train they missed. So everybody in the train station was like going crazy. Like, what's going on over here? Well, what's the train? Trains don't come back. It turned around and came back. Well, what's going on? So they the driver, whatever you call the driver of the train, conductor thing, he comes out and they ask him, what happened? What are you doing? Why do you drive the train back? He says, I what can I tell you? I'll tell you what happened. It never happened to me before. He says, what? He says, I was driving the train, you know, to Warsaw, towards Radin, and then there was a turnoff, you know. So I had to turn right. So I, you know, positioned the train to turn right. But it wouldn't go. I wanted to go right. The train was pulling left. And as much as I was trying to go right, I couldn't. It just kept going left until it went left. And then I was forced to make a, you know, thing to go around and come back here to the starting place because I had to go, you know, going around. I couldn't go where I was supposed to go. So Shmuel realized that why this happened. Because the Chavetz Chaim, you know, didn't want to wait 4.5 hours. So the train came back. And again, Rav Shmuel said to Chavetz Chaim, you know, Mokface, he says, this is unbelievable. Like, how'd you do that? You know, so he said, you know, again, like, you don't realize the value of a person that does mitzvahs, l'shem shamayim, with the right intent, and that, he says, it can change everything, change the world, can make trains go back, and make there's no limit what the power of Torah and mitzvahs are. But providing, of course, a person does a property, l'shem shamayim, that there's no limit. That's our goal, is to try to realize the value of the mitzvahs, which of course then helps us, mazars us in our service of Hashem. If we think, oh, we're doing it, what am I doing? And just, we realize what it does, what the power of the mitzvahs and what it can do, and affect nature, and affect other worlds, as Nefesh HaChaim says, it's unbelievable. So if we take this to heart, it'll help us in our avodas Hashem, in our simcha of doing the mitzvahs. Mizrat Hashem, we should all do our mitzvahs l'shem shemayim with the realizations of how great they are, and hope that one day HaKadosh Baruch Hu very soon will bring us the goal tzedek b'mehirah v'yameinu.
Amen.